Begin the current daf Maseches Nedarim daf Ayin Gimel. Begin three lines down from the top of the Yamud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, the Gemara had introduced a question from Rami Bachama. Although it says in the pasuk V'shama Isha that when the husband hears, or similarly it says by the father when he hears the woman's neder, then they can be made for a neder. Rami Bachama's question was: is that dafka? Does it have to be that he hears about it and only then can he be made for the neder, or is it just talking about in matter of fact how it normally happens, but really he could be made for the neder even though he didn't hear about it? Now, the Gemara had attempted to bring a raya from that from the halacha of our Mishnah, which the Gemara ultimately rejected and said that there's no raya from our Mishnah. And the Gemara left the question inconclusive. Now, our Gemara continues with another question from the same Amira in a related vein. So the Gemara begins, Boy Rami Bachama. Rami Bachama asked, Cheresh, regarding an individual who is deaf, he can't hear, but he's not like in general Talmudic terms, which when we refer to a Cheresh, we mean someone that like has no das, he can't speak or hear. This individual can talk. He has das, he has intellect, but he just can't hear. So the question is, Mahu Shiyafal Ishtai. What's the halacha? Could he be made for the neder of his wife? As the Gemara explains the question. And this is based on the premise of the previous question. Im Tim Talema, if you're going to say regarding the previous question we had, that Baal made for Baloy Shmiya, we had a question, we wanted to know, could the husband be made for the neder without hearing or not? So now Rami Bachama is taking it to the next level. He's saying that even if we're going to say that the husband could be made for the neder without ever hearing about it, and therefore, although it says v'shama isha, you don't really have to hear. Now, maybe it says v'shama isha, but it's mishum debar mishmahu. It's because since the husband is someone that could hear, so that's why the halacha would be that his not hearing will not withhold the validity of him being able to be made for the neder. Of a cheresh, but someone that's a cheresh, that's deaf, the lav bar mishmahu, that's not a capable person of hearing, then maybe hainu de Reb Zeira, maybe that will apply to the division that Reb Zeira defined. Because the Amar Reb Zeira says in Maseches Menachos that kol haro labila, any mincha that's fit to be mixed, then ain bila makeres, but then actually you don't have to mix it for it to be a valid mincha, a flower offering on the Mizbeach. Now, v'chol she'ein ro labila, however, any mincha that's not fit to be mixed, then actually bila ma'keves boy, then actually mixing will withhold the validity of that flour offering. That is, as it's brought in Maseches Menachos Kaf Gimel Beis. The Mishnah there teaches that if someone says, I have to bring 61 esroinim, esroin, isroin of flour, is a certain measurement of flour that the Menachos would be brought in those measurements. So if someone says, I'm going to bring 61, so the Mishnah says, you have to bring 60 in one vessel, and the other extra one in another one. Now, the Gemara, the reason that's explained over there is because since the Rabbanan know that only 60 Esroinim can be mixed well in one vessel, but 61 won't mix well, so that's why you have to put 60 in one and the other one, the extra one, in another vessel. Now, the Gemara there asks the question, what do you mean? Who cares that it doesn't get mixed well? But there's a Mishnah there on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph that says that if you didn't mix the flour offering, it's going to be kosher. So who cares? Yes, it's not going to mix well, but still put 61 in one vessel. So on that, Reb Zeira there explains, he says this halachic dictum, that haro labilam, and it's a concept that goes across to other areas of halacha. It uses his terminology because that's where his chiddush and halacha is brought, that any flour offering that's fit to be mixed, meaning let's say there's 60 or less than one utensil, then you're right, bila is not ma'akiv. Then even if you don't mix it, it's going to be kosher. But if it's not even eligible, if it's not even able to have been mixed, meaning if you would have 61 or more in the same utensil, then bila is ma'akev. Why? What does that mean? The fundamental principle is because it has to be fit to have bila done to it, where you could fulfill the mitzvah of the mincha. And therefore, although you don't, then so therefore, but it's going to be valid as long as it could have been done to it. Now, therefore, the Gemara wants to entertain that maybe the same thing applies to the halacha over here from B'shama Isha, that you're right, although we were saying that maybe regarding the husband that he doesn't have to hear it, but he could hear it. So therefore, he fits into B'shama Isha because if he wanted to, he could hear it. In contrast to the Cheresh, who is not even a Bar Shmiya, he can't even hear, so maybe the B'shama Isha would be excluding him. Or maybe the Gemara says, no, B'shama Isha, Lema Akiv. That is, why is the husband able to be made for the neder without hearing it is because B'shama Isha is not necessarily the case. It's just saying the normal way how it usually is, but you don't have to hear it, and therefore you wouldn't have to hear it at all. Even a deaf person could go ahead and be made for the neder of his wife because you don't have to hear. So is it that you don't have to hear, or you do, but once you could, then you don't have to, which would exclude a cheresh? So Rabbi says, Tashma, come in here. It's explicit in the Braisa. The Braisa says, it says in the Pasuk, B'shama Isha, that her husband will hear about it, and then he could choose to be made for it. The Braisa says, clearly, Prat Le'esh is that excludes the wife of a deaf, Shema Mina. So from there, we can infer the answer to our question, that obviously, that a cheresh is ma'akiv. In other words, he cannot be made for the nether of his wife, because it says in the Pasuk, B'shama Isha. Now, however, the Ran does point out that from this Braisa, however, that says B'shama Isha, that is excluding the Eishes Cheresh, you cannot answer the previous Gemara's question from the previous Daf, which was left inconclusive, and say, wait a second, from the fact that the Braisa from the words B'shama Isha excludes only the wife of a Cheresh, that sounds like, but if the husband's not a Cheresh, he's someone that could hear, that then Shmi is not Ma'akev. You don't have to hear, because if you could hear, and still you're not going to be able to be made for the nether, so why does the Braisa say Prat Le'esh is Cheresh? It should say Prat Le any husband that didn't hear it, which would be even more of a Chiddush. So that the Ran says no, it's no Raya from this Braisa, because you could reject that Raya by saying that, you're right, the Tana of the Braisa would hold that the same thing would apply to a regular husband too. It's just talking about in the general a conceptualization of this halacha, where is that you have to hear, and who's someone that can't hear? It's a Cheresh, it's someone that's deaf. But really, the halacha would apply even to a hearing husband in a case where he just didn't hear. Now, and the Ram proves this, and he says, because if not, then you're right. Then why wouldn't the Braisa, why wouldn't the Gemara in the previous daf resolve its question from this Braisa? So obviously says, because you could reject the way we just said, because it's Lav Davko, and it says Prat Le'esh Cheresh. It's just using him as a paradigm of someone that doesn't hear. But anyone that doesn't hear, even the hearing person, would not be able to be made for the Nadarm of his wife, possibly. But the Ram does say, and this is what we alluded to as we ended the previous daf, that since Rami Bar Chama, the way he poses the question, says it in the form of what's called Imtim Tzaloimar, he says, and if you're going to say, that the husband could be made for even without hearing it. So we know that in general, in Halacha, whenever the Gemara says Imtim Tzaloimar, that is the Gemara's ideal choice, and then it's moving on to the next question. And if you say this option, then what's with that? So that's one reason why we would say that, obviously, that the Gemara does hold that the husband could be made for without hearing. The only question was, would you say the same thing regarding Cheresh or not? Moreover, is that the Gemara relies on resolving the question of Cheresh from the Halacha of Zera, which from there they wanted to exclude a Cheresh, where the way the Gemara says it from the Halacha of Zera is that whatever is fit for Bila, then Bila is not Ma'akiv, which that would apply to a regular husband too, that if he's fit for Vishama, then you don't actually have to hear. And the reason why the Gemara picks Reb Zeira, because that's how we paskin. So that would be another reason to say that although it says V'shama Isha, that's only that what should be, but since you could, then you actually don't have to. And moreover, the Ran says is that the simple reading of the Mishnah, and that which we brought on the previous daf, the simple reading sounds like that it's that the husband could be made for even without having heard it. Now, although the Gemara gives answers to reject it and say that it could even be that you'll explain that even when they didn't hear it, l'chishaman or l'chishama. But again, those are what's called teritzim. That's called like just answers to get out of it. But essentially, the simple translations of our Mishnah and the Braises that we brought all sound like that the husband could be made for even when he doesn't hear it. And that's how he brings from the Rambam that a husband does not have to hear the neder of his wife to be able to be made for it. But a cheresh who can't hear at all, he's excluded from b'shama isha, prat la'esha's cheresh, he cannot be made for the nedarim of his wife. So moving along with a similar type of a question, where we asked, is v'shama isha davka or not, which the way the Ran's explaining that it's lav davka, you don't have to actually hear. So Yibailu, that had another question. Bal maho sheyofa l'shtei nasha b'vasachas. What's halacha? Could a husband be made for the nedarim of two of his wives at the same time? In other words, if two of his wives took a neder, he could tell them both, mufa l'chein. Both of you are mufer. So the Gemara explains the question. I saw when the pasuk says b'yem shemayi isha that on the day when her husband will hear yani I saw he will hold her back. So I saw davka is when it says in the singular he's going to do hafar tahar. Is that specific? Meaning you have to do one at a time? I love davka, or is not necessarily that the case? Now the Ran just points out that this question that is being posed regarding the husband same thing would be regarding a father and his daughters, because by a father it also says I saw. So would he only be able to make for one of his daughters at a time? Or not, again, similar to like the Gemara's previous question of the listening, Mishama, Was that dafka b'shama isha or not? Here also the question is oisa dafka? Does it have to be one at a time or not? So Amar Ravina Tashema, Ravina says, let's bring a raya from the following brisa. The brisa says, in another area of halacha, it says, in mashkin shtei soiktas ka'achas. You can't bring two suspected adulterous women to the Beis HaMikdash and give them to drink what's called the mei soita, which are certain prepared waters to have them drink and inspect them if they really were that they were unfaithful or not. You can't give them to drink at the same time. The reason being is because what's going to happen is if you're bringing two women, the other woman might actually be tar and she was suspected that for no good reason. But the other one is really tamei. She was unfaithful. Now, but when she's going to see her friend, who really is tahar, who's going to be and say, yeah, well, I'm not admitting that I was unfaithful. And because she knows she's tahar, the other one, who really was unfaithful and really should admit her guilt, instead is going to deny it also. What's going to happen is that because of that, Hashem's name is going to be erased for nothing, because they take Hashem's name and they erase it into the water that the seita drinks. So because of that, the Tanna Kamma says that let them not both drink at the same time. Because they're going to be one gets affected by social learning from the other person that's there, and she's going to be saying, I'm not drinking. So she's going to say, oh, I'm also not drinking. I'm also tar, but really she's not. So don't have them both drink at the same time. Yehuda Aymer, he argues on the Tanna Kamma. He says, Leiman Hashem Huzeh. He says, that's not the reason why you don't have, yeah, I agree to the halacha. We both agree that the site, you don't have both two sites drinking at the same time, but it's not because of the reason you just said. It's based on a pasuk, not like logic like you said. It's a pasuk in Bamidbar that says of a hishka, which is what's called a mapig hay, which is as if it would say vihishka isa. Vihishka is to have her drink. It's like it says in the pasuk vihishka isa that she will drink, and from that we expound isa levada. She herself drinks, that you can't have two women drinking at the same time. Now, therefore, so what is Ravina proving from this price of the halacha of can a husband or a father be made for the nedarim of his wives or his daughters at the same time? So the Ram brings that there is an opinion that says that Ravina is answering his question from the opinion of the Rabbanim, meaning the Tanna Kamma, and not Rabbi Yehuda, because from the Tanna Kamma you see that they do not interpret the word vihishka, which again really means like vihishka isa, to be dafka, and to learn from Exeris HaKasev to say that that's why you can't have them both drink at the same time. Because if he did, then he wouldn't bring a reason like Rabbi Yehuda says. He says, what are you making up reasons? The Pasuk says you need each one individually. From the fact that the Tanna Kamma, the Rabbanan say a reason is just because that she's going to be affected by the other woman, obviously the reason is that because although it would say Aisa, which is really what it's saying when it says Vehishka, or the Mapake, you wouldn't make a drasha that would mean Aisa Dafka. And therefore we see Aisa is Lav Dafka. So therefore the same thing would apply regarding a husband, that he could be made for the nedarim of both of his wives at the same time, because although it says Isa, you see it's Lav Dafka, it doesn't mean necessarily one at a time. And actually that's how it says in the Tosefta and the Mechilton, where it says explicitly this halacha, that he could be made for both of them at the same time. Now the Ram brings, actually the Ramban does not agree to this. And the reason being is because in the first Perek Masech the Saitan, the Avches HaMadav, there the Gemara says that actually who is the Tanna Kamma of this Braisa? It's actually Reb Shimon. Why is it Reb Shimon? Because he expounds the reasoning of Pesukim. Now, therefore, he wasn't giving just a stam svara, making up a reasoning in his head. He was doing what's called matam. He's giving the reasoning. Why does the pasuk say vihishka, which means like vihishka isa, that you only give one to drink at one at a time? So Reb Shimon doesn't say zayus hakasa, that's what the pasuk says. He gives the reasoning behind it. The reasoning of the pasuk is because the other one woman is going to be affected by the other one. Now, what you see from that Gemara and Saita is that obviously everybody agrees that Isa means Isa Lavada, just her, not just Rabbi Huda. It's just Rabbi Shimon's taking it one step further and he's giving the reasoning for it. And therefore, since our Gemara, which I, as we explained in Masech the Saita, and therefore the same thing would be like the Brice would bring over here, holds that Isa is Dafka, if the Ramban says, the Ram brings that, we don't care what it says in the Tosefta because maybe that's a mistaken brisa because it wasn't taught in what's called the brisas, the yeshivas, Reb Chiya and Reb Aishya. And therefore, based on the Ramban, then the halacha would be that actually the husband cannot be mefer the nedarim of both of his wives at the same time because actually everyone, even the Tanna Kamma, who is Reb Shimon, agrees to Reb Yehuda for the drasha of Hishka Aisa. His logic is just explaining that drasha of Hishka Aisa It's ois lavada. So therefore, when the pasuk says in regards to a husband being made for the neder, where it says oisa, that yoni oisa is going to stop her, it has to be only her and not another one together, and therefore you can only do one at a time. We continue on Tamid Beis, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing on this theme of this parak regarding the ability to be made for a neder of a naira hamayrasa, a girl under the age of 12 and a half who's engaged, which again, the basic halach of that is, as we said in the first Mishnah of this parak, at a viyo baila mafir nederahu. Now our Mishnah continues and says how the law changes at some point during her engagement. As the Mishnah says, begeres, a woman that is over 12 and a half, sheshasa yud beis chaydish, that she's already waited 12 months from at the time that her and the chasn agreed that they're going to want to get married. Now actually the Ram brings that the Gemara and Daf Ayim Abayz actually explained that this is two cases. It's not begeres sheshasa yud beis chaydish, it's actually begeres. Because actually begeres, the time span is not 12 months, it's actually 30 days. And it's vishashasa yud beis chaydish. And let's say a naira, someone under 12 and a half, that she waits 12 months. So, and regarding those two, and let's say an valmon and a widow, who's lama yoyim, the time span is 30 days, Reb Eliezer Eime, he says that hoilu baila chayv b'mezaynesel, since a begeres after 30 days, sometimes it's 12 months, depending if it was, it could be 12 months or 30 days, or a naira who's always 12 months, or an amon that's 30 days, since that, when that date comes, as the Gemara explains in Masechta Ksubos Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, where we give a besula, a woman that was that's a virgin 12 months, and the time that her and the chasan made up that they want to consummate the relationship, once that 12 months come, then they're not married yet, the husband already has to start feeding her. As the Mishnah there teaches, he gives man b'lei nistu, if the time came and they didn't get married yet, then oichlis mishloi, she eats from his food. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer said that although we've been saying up until now, that when she's in Nair HaMirasa, it's a view, b'ayla mafir nadireha, but once the husband has to start feeding her, then yoffer. Then the husband himself, even though he's just a chasen, she is a classic naimaros in a sense, he himself, even a naira, who didn't even leave the father's domain yet, without the partnership of the father, he can go ahead and be made for the nether himself. Almost like as if she got married already, because since he has the obligations of marriage, he has to feed her, so therefore he also has the ability of the halacha of hafaras nederam by himself, like a regular husband, and he doesn't have to do it with the father. Now the Chama, however, they argue, and the Ran says that's Rabbi Yeshua, who always argues in Rabbi Eliezer, he holds that Eina Baal Mefer, the husband himself cannot be Mefer, Asher Tekanes L'Rishusa, until she enters into Chuppah, then she becomes his wife, full-fledged, and then he can be Mefer on the Dharm himself, but as long as she's still engaged, even though the time of when he has to stop feeding her came, and he's feeding her, he still can't be Mefer it without the partnership of the father. Now, Amar Rabbah explains, in regards to this machlokes we had in our Mishnah, he says that Rebbe Eliezer u Mishnah Rishayna, Rebbe Eliezer, who we explained that he holds that once the time comes, she's essentially like a Nesuah, that just like a Nesuah, the husband himself can be made for the nether, so too over here, even though she's still engaged as an Aymarasa, and u Mishnah Rishayna, and the first version, which is as we're going to quote in the Gemara, there was two different versions of this halacha that actually Rebbe Eliezer's halacha is predicated on, where we're talking about that since this Higiyah Zman came when he has to start feeding her, then we have this Machlekes Rebbe Eliezer Chacham, so okay, so now since he's already feeding her like as if she's married, so can he be made for the Nedarim himself like as if she's married? There's actually two different versions in that halacha. When is it that the husband has to start feeding the Kala? Now, so therefore, the first version, and Rebbe Eliezer Amr Dabar Echad, they say the same idea, which is that once the time came to get married, and they didn't get married yet, but since the husband has to start giving her mezainis, so we consider her on some level, like as if she's already married to him, even though she's not yet married, she didn't yet have chuppah and come into his house. Rebbe Eliezer is like, we quote him in the Mishnah, where he says that the husband could already be made within the dharm, even without the partnership of the father, even though she's not really a nesuah, but on some level he considers her like a nesuah. And the Mishnah Rishayna is that not, like we learned in Mishnah Masechtas Ksubas. There the Mishnah quotes this halacha that Nesin lebesula yud beis chaydish. We give a virgin, a woman that was never consummated before, we give her 12 months from when the chasen and the kala, when they decide, okay, let's get married, we already got the kedushin, I already gave you the ring, so let's get married. So they give the kala 12 months, lefarnes atzma, to go prepare herself with all her gowns and all her jewelry and everything that she needs for the wedding. Now, Hagi Yud Beis Chodesh, if 12 months come and the husband didn't yet bring her to the chuppah, then Oichles Mishalai, then he already has to start feeding her from his own money, and Bachelis B'Truma, if he's a Kayin, he already starts feeding her Truma. Now, Aval, however, which is not the main concept we need for our Gemara, but the Mishnah there says, Hayavam Einam Eichel B'Truma. A Yavam, if let's say her Chasen dies, which obviously is without any children, then there's a mitzvah of Yibum. So, although there's a mitzvah of Yibum, but even if it's already the 12 months, which passed from when the Chasen told the Kala, who now is deceased, told her that, okay, let's go ahead and get married, but the Yavam does not go ahead and give her Truma even after the 12 months, whereas the Gemara there explains on Daf Chesam and Alf in Perakaf Opi, because the Torah says, which husband gets to feed his wife Truma? It's Kinyan Kaspoy, who's the acquisition of his money. But here it's not his acquisition. He never gave her a ring to get engaged. His brother did. Now he's just doing Yibum, but he didn't do Yibum yet. She's a Shemeres Yavam. So though it came time already for 12 months for somebody to consummate the relationship, the first Chasen died and his brother didn't do it yet, but since it's not Kinyan Kaspoy, so he can't biblically, can't halachically go ahead and give her Truma. As the Mishnah there explains, that even if Asa Shish Chadashim Efnei HaBaal, even if 6 of the 12 months, the first chasen, our original chasen, was alive, from the 12 months that the chacham give her, from when the chasen says, okay, let's get married, but if shisha chadashim efnei ayavam, but the other 6 months she was waiting for the 12 months, was for his brother, the yavam, or vafilu kulam efnei habal chosi yamechad, or even, the mission there says, even if 12 of the months, minus, sans, one day, was in front of the Yavam, then the halacha is going to be that she's not going to be able to get any mezainis or truma, and the reason being is because as long as there wasn't all the 12 months in front of the chasen, so the obligation never began, because kinyan kaspoy only applies to the chasen, to the one who did the kedushin, and not to the Yavam. Now Rashi, over there in Perek Aval Pi, explains that it's actually not necessarily chasu yemechad, because even if all the 12 months were in front of her chasen, and only then did he die, now that she's waiting for Yibum from the Yavam, she still wouldn't eat truma from the Yavam. The reason being is because, as the Gemara there says, it's only kinyan kaspoy that gets to feed truma. And here it's not kinyan kaspoy of the Yavam, it's kesef of his brother. And therefore, as the Rashi there explains, the reason why it says it as if she had almost all 12 months besides one day, it's just because we want to explain the case where the woman never ended up eating truma ever. Because if the chasen died, let's say, 13 months after they made up they're going to get married, at least for 1 month, she would have eaten truma. And then when he dies, then you're right, she wouldn't eat anymore because the yavam is not kinyan kaspoy, but she would have eaten. So the Mishnah there wants to say it in a way that she never ate, which she almost got 12 months, and then he died, and now she can't eat because it's not kinyan kaspoy from the yavam. But actually, Rabbeinu Tam argues, and he learns that it's literal, the Mishnah, where it's only if one day was missing. But actually, if she would have had already 12 months passed before her chasen died, she actually would continue eating even when it's just the yavam that she's waiting for. Because you're right, although the yavam cannot feed her based on his own merits, truma, because it's not kinyan kaspoy, it's the kesef of his brother, but she wouldn't lose because of the yavam. And actually, that's how the Ram brings it, says in the Yerushalmi, where if hegiya zman v'lei nasur, if the time came, and she didn't get married, or if her husband died, then she would continue eating from his food and to eat from truma, because although he's dead, but since it already came a time where he started having to feed her and it was already kinyan kaspoy, so therefore she would continue eating. But be that as it may, regarding this machlokes Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, but the Mishnah there says that whether half of it was in front of the chasen and half in front of the yavam, or even almost all of it by the chasen, but the day before it was 12 months, then he died and now is in front of the Yavam. Or for sure, if, let's say, almost all of it was in front of the Yavam, besides one day, which the Chasen died the day that he said, let's get married, which was the beginning of the 12 months, either way, she doesn't eat Truma. Again, because not Kinyan Kaspoy. Now, Zub Mishnah Rishenya, this is the first version of this halacha, which again, the primary thing is not regarding the Yavam, was regarding the first idea, which is that a woman would eat Truma even before she comes to the chuppah, as long as the chasen is still alive, and it was already 12 months after, or kontrabantam, even if he dies after that. But in other words, once 12 months come, according to the first version of this Mishnah, then the woman could already start eating from his food and from truma. No. Bezin shalach areimam, however, the later courts came along and said that no. Ein ha'ish ha'echeles b'truma, a woman cannot eat truma, ad she'tekanes l'chuppah, until she enters into chuppah with her chasen, when she finally gets married. Now the Gemara there explains, it's for one of two reasons. Either because of what's called simfon, in other words, because even though the time came when he said we're going to get married, and he was negligent and he didn't get married, but maybe what the problem is going to be is maybe, although biblically, Kinyan Kasper actually starts from the moment of Kedushin, really he should right away be able to start giving her food and Truma, because she's Kinyan Kasper, you don't have to really wait for Nisuan. Problem is that since she never came to live with him yet, because although she's forbidden to every other man, it's only with Nisuan that she's permitted him, maybe when he finally consummates the relationship and they're intimate, he's going to find some blemish on her. It's going to come out that his mekach, his acquisition of acquiring her as a wife, was a mekach to'os, which means to say that it was like he was never engaged to her because it was a mistaken acquisition. Now, that would come out retroactively, that if she was eating truma up until now, let's say even after 12 months when he's obligated to feed her, if she was eating truma, she was eating truma as a non-ashes kohen. She's not a kohenes. She only has the rights because she's kinyan kasbei of him. But if it turns out that it was mekach, was a mekach tais, a mistaken acquisition, turns out that she was never engaged to him and she was eating inappropriately truma as a zar, as a non-kohen. That's one reason the Gemara there gives. Or a different reason the Gemara gives why we don't allow the kala, even after 12 months, to consume truma from her chasen is because maybe her brothers and sisters are going to say, ooh, what'd you get from the chasen? And she's going to give them, ooh, he gave me this delicious cup of truma, and they're not going to be aware, and her brothers and sisters who are zarm are going to be consuming it, and therefore, that's something that was problematic. Now, so one thing we see is that the Mishnah Rishayna holds like Rebbe Eliezer, and that is, since the husband has to feed her food, that's his obligation after the 12 months, so therefore she's already somewhat like in his domain, and therefore she eats truma, because she's somewhat like his wife, where you're right, although when they're just engaged, then there's no, he doesn't give her truma, but when she gets married, then he gives her truma. So Rebbe Eliezer is like the Mishnah Rishayna holds that, yes, she eats truma after 12 months, so it's essentially like she's married. And that's why Rebbe Eliezer says the same thing, that's why he can be made for her in the Dharm. It's like as if they're married. Now the Ran explains that the Gemara assumes right now that because if the Mishnah Rishayna did not hold like Rebbe Eliezer, now, and he forewarns a question, that is, although really the Isra of truma by an Arusa, by a Kala, is only rabbinic, because actually, like we explained before, biblically, she's already considered Kinyan Kasper from the moment they get engaged, and it's only rabbinically, because of a concern of, like we said, Simfon, he might find something wrong with her, and it'll be a Mekach Tois, or because she might come to give to her brothers and sisters from the cup of Truma. Now, although that's rabbinic, how are we comparing it to the Halacha of Nedarim, which is biblical? Still, the Gemara assumes right now that if by biblical Halacha, we would not say that the Mishnah Rishayna holds like Rebbe Eliezer, that's almost like as if she's already Bishras Baal, as if there's already Nisuin already, then for Truma also, even though it's only rabbinic, we would not say that she's already considered in his domain. The reason being is because we always say Chacham also Chizikul Devreim Kishal Torah. The rabbis gave their halachas the strength, just like a biblical halacha. And if biblically, we would not consider her already in her husband's domain, like Rebbe Eliezer holds, and that's why he could be made for on the Dharm, like a regular married woman without a father, then we would have not said the same thing regarding Truma, even though it's a rabbinic concern. So therefore the Gemara assumes right now, according to the interpretation of Rabbah, that Rebbe Eliezer and the Mishnah Rishayna are saying the same idea. Whereas according to Mishnah Achrayna, no, until there's Chuppah, she's not in his domain, and therefore, like the Chacham in our Mishnah would say, that the Baal can't be made for until she tikkanes l'reshusa. On that, Abaye asks on Rabbah, and he says, Dimalahi, maybe the comparison you're making between Rebbe Eliezer in our Mishnah and the Mishnah Rishayna in Masech Ksubis is not a comparison, and each one doesn't necessarily have to hold like the other one. That is, Adkan l'kashim in on Mishnah Rishayna. Until when did we have this concept from the first version that they hold that after 12 months of engagement, then it's like they're really married, and therefore, although we say that only when they're married does the husband give his truma to his wife, even though, again, Kinyan Kasper is really when they're engaged, but we have concerns, and then we only give it when they're married, but we see from the Mishnah Rishayna that after 12 months pass, it's like they're married already, that's Ella Mecha B'Truma D'Rabbanan. That's only for him to feed his wife truma because of a rabbinic concern. And that is, as we just explained before, because actually, according to the basic halacha, an arusa, a kala, does eat truma. It's only a rabbinic concern, either because of Sinfine or because of maybe she's going to give her brothers and sisters to drink from the cup of Truma. Now, therefore, where he is already obligated to feed her, when 12 months have already came, then maybe the Mishmishan holds that we're not concerned for this rabbinic concern. And it would be permitted because both elements they don't hold are concerning. Why? There's no concern on Sinfine because since now that he has to feed her, he's going to check her out with his relatives. He's going to get his girl cousin to go check her out and see that there's nothing really wrong with her because he doesn't want to waste money for nothing. I have to feed her? Oh, until now it was just blissful. Engagement, fine. I had no commitments. Now this commitment, I'm going to make sure. And moreover, that this opinion would hold that an external inspection of her, just checking her out, even not seeing intimate things, which he's only going to see when they consummate the relation, would be a valid bedika. And therefore, there's no concern in Simfine. And moreover, because of the reason of maybe she's going to give her brothers and sisters a drink, they also hold this not a concern after the 12 months come, is because since he's feeding her, he's going to make her a specific place where she gets to eat this stuff, not in her own home, because then he's going to be spending way too much money because he's going to share with all her sisters and brothers. So therefore, maybe only over there did the missionary showing to say that we're going to be considering it that after 12 months, like a nesua, because it's only rabbinic halacha. Of Nedarim Dairaisa, but regarding Nedarim, which is a biblical halacha, where biblically an aris, a chassan, can't be mefer, which we always said, Naim Aras, you need the father and the chassan. Maybe even after he has to feed her mezainis after 12 months, a malai. I would say that he can't be mefer the Nedarim without the partnership of the father. Because biblically, if you're going with biblical halacha, of course she's not married after 12 months. It's only regarding the Mishnah Rishonis halacha of feeding her, which that's only rabbinic halacha you have to circumvent. After 12 months, those two rabbinic concerns are not going to be concerns. And also the other way around, Abaya says, V'adkan lo yishamad leil Rabbi Eliezer, and we don't know from Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah that after 12 months, she's already considered in his domain to some level like a nesua that he could be made for a nedarim himself, and he doesn't need the father. That's elikab nedarim. That's only regarding nedarim, and not because like the way you thought to compare to the Mishnah Rishayin, because after 12 months, we consider her like a married woman. No, rather it's for a different reason, which is unique to Nedarim. Kidrav Pinchas Mishmei Derava, like Rabbi Pinchas says the name of Rava. Dama that he says, Kol HaNederes, every woman that takes a neder, Aldas Bailehi Nederes, she takes it under the assumption that her husband will agree, and thus giving him the rights of Hafara, that's her intention when she takes the neder. Now, therefore, Rabbi Eliezer holds that since he's supporting her, that it's because it's already after 12 months, so definitely that was her intention when she took the neder. Ava truma, but regarding truma, afilim adrabana, even like you're describing, that's only a rabbinic truma, that would be problematic. Namei la'achla. No, of course, he would not be able to give her to eat even after 12 months, because you could say, because although that, yes, he's supporting her, but you still have the rabbinic concerns of simfine, because maybe that Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah would hold that it is a concern that just an external inspection of this woman to make sure there's nothing wrong with her is not enough, and that there would still be a concern of Shematashka because that he doesn't designate a specific place for her. And therefore, essentially what Abai is saying is that there's no raya that they're saying the same opinion. Could be the Mishnah Rishayna would not agree to Rabbi Eliezer, and could be Rabbi Eliezer would not agree to the Mishnah Rishayna. Now, the Ran just points out one thing, is that this that it says that the reasoning of Rabbi Eliezer that maybe only says it by Nedarim, and not because she's like a Nesua that gives the rights after 12 months for the husband to make for the Neder. And therefore, it wouldn't be a right that Rabbi Eliezer holds like the Mishnah Rishayna, who you're trying to say would hold like it is a Nesua. And rather, the reason why he holds after 12 months the husband himself can be made for is because since she's being supported by him, that's like based on the halacha of Pinchas, where then a wife always does it under the assumption that her husband is going to agree to it. That's not to say that the Rabbanan don't hold like the halacha of Rav Pinchas. I mean, it's not like that's Rabbi Eliezer in contrast to the Chacham. The reason being is because, as the Ram points out, the Gemara Masechtas Nida and Daf Menvav Med Aleph says, a unanimous halacha, that when you have a minor that gets married off by her mother and her brothers, which that's a rabbinic marriage, where that's where the halacha of Miyun applies, that she could refuse the marriage, where the halacha is that the husband could be made within the dharm of his minor wife. Now, although her nedarim could take effect biblically, and the reason being is because although she's still a minor, because if she was adult, then they don't have the rights to marry her off, but since a year before she becomes an adult, there's a halacha called a mufla samach le'ish, which is a year before we check to see if she knows what she's talking about, then her nedarim have biblical status, as the Gemara there on Daf Mem Vav Mem Beis explains. Now, although her marriage to her husband is only rabbinic, still there the Gemara explains that even though it's only rabbinic marriage, he could go ahead and be mevatel her biblical nedarim. What's the reason? How could he do that? His rights in her is only rabbinic, and her nedarim are biblical. How could that marriage give him the rights, which biblically are not recognized, to be made for her nedarim? So the Gemara there says, oh, you know why? It's because of the halacha of Rapichas. Where you're right, it's not because of the biblical halacha, it's just because every woman, when she makes the neder, it's al das baila neder, she does it, that he'll consent. Now, but one thing we see is that no one argues in that halacha, we see that Rabban agreed to this halacha of Rapichas. So why does the Gemara here make it sound like that it's Rabbi Eliezer holds like Rav Pinchas? And that's why that Rabbi Eliezer holds that he could be made for himself without the father after 12 months, because he's feeding her, and therefore she wants him to consent, but the Chacham here say that the husband himself can't do it until there's chuppah. So that around explains that the machlik is, yes, everyone agrees to Rav Pinchas halacha, but they argue how far you take it. Rabbi Eliezer holds, since he's the sole supporter of her right now after 12 months, so she's only going to want to take a neder that he's going to agree to, because he's supporting her. But the Rabban hold that, no, we don't agree to you, because they say, wouldn't you agree to us? They would tell Rabbi Eliezer. Now, let's say some stranger goes out and supports her. That obviously you wouldn't say the concept of that all her nedarim are only that man consents. So if so, they say the same thing, that yes, although after 12 months, the chassan is feeding her, but still, she's not making the nedarim that only that he'll consent to. Until when she enters into chuppah. And that is that, however, that when she enters into chuppah, even a rabbinic chuppah, as we explained that everyone agrees in that Gemara Masechtas Nida Daf Mem Vav, for example, when a minor gets married off by her mother and her brothers, there you're right, Rabbanu would agree to the halacha of Rav Pinchas that when she's being neider, that she's having in mind that the husband's going to agree. And that's why you're right, as the Gemara there says, although the marriage is rabbinic, he could still be mevatel her biblical nedarim, even though seemingly how could he do that? He's not the biblical husband. Is because that's the context of her neder, is only that he's going to agree. So again, that's what the Ron's clarifying, that although the Gemara makes it sound like that Rabbi Eliezer is based on Rav Pinchas, everyone agrees to Rav Pinchas. It's just that Rabbi Eliezer takes it a step further, and therefore that's what Abai is telling to Rabbah. It's not necessarily the same halacha, that after 12 months we view the Kala as if she's in the Suwa. Not necessarily, we could say either way, that the Mishnah Rishoyna would hold that it's only rabbinic halacha, and therefore we don't see anywhere that for biblical halacha, like Rabbi Eliezer makes it sound like, that then she would be like a Nesua. And Abai says the same thing the other way. Not necessarily would Rabbi Eliezer be saying that she's like a Nesua. Could be that it's not like the Mishnah Rishonim who holds that she is like a Nesua for regards to having him feed her truma. That here it's a different halacha based on the halacha concept of Nedarim, which again Rabbi Eliezer takes a step further than Rabbanan and Rav Pinchas halacha. That, look, this is the man she's going to marry. He's already supporting her. It's already after 12 months. So when she takes the neder, although it's not even a biblical, it's not like Nisuin. It's not like he's the biblical husband that has the authority of being made for the har nedarim. But since when she's neder, it says, al das baile nederes, because he's supporting her, that's why Rabbi Eliezer would hold that he could be made for har nedarim.